And so, y'all, here we are in the month of February. This year is just rolling right along. February, y'all, it's the month of love. Yeah, I didn't say that right. It's the month of love. Yeah, so Valentine's Day is coming up, and y'all know how we do it, you know. You show your love to your wife, you show your love to your husband, you get the Valentine's card, you get the chocolates, the candy, and some of y'all get some diamonds and stuff maybe, but you know, so retailers just make a whole lot of money, Reverend Terrell, they make a whole lot of money off of us, and so praise God, it's another holiday, it's another day to shovel out the money. So we thank God for this month of love, and so we're sharing a sermon series this month. We start out, I love my church. That's the title of the series. I love my church. Clap somebody. Yeah, if you I hope you do. I hope that you do. So there are some places, some spaces, some locations in life that we just have to go to. It's a must to go to. And when I say that expression, I'm not talking about, you know, those places like, you know, your favorite vacation spot. That you go to Cabo, you go to the Bahamas, you go to Dubai. That's on my checklist. I want to go to Dubai one day, y'all. So those are great places to go. But when I say must go, I have to go to places, I'm talking about those places because of the station of life, the course of life. You simply got to go to these places. You got to go. When I was young and you were young, you had to go to school. You had to get some reading and some writing and some arithmetic. You had to know what naught plus naught meant, the Jethros. You had to learn some stuff, get some stuff in your head. It was a must go. You had to go. Anybody ever had a toothache? You had to go to the, it was a must to go place. You had to go to the dentist to get that stuff fixed. And when we go to these places, y'all, it brings out different emotions and feelings. You feel different about going to the mall than you do about going to the dentist. Well, some of us do. I'm looking at some of the brothers like, I don't know, dentist mall. So, but it brings about different feelings. And so to help us to understand this, I'm going to give us a little bit of imagery today. And so what I want y'all to do, we're going to show some pictures on the screen. And if you would, just throw out one word. This is didactic. This is feedback, y'all. So throw out one word when you see that image on the screen. And when you think about going to this place, what it feels like. One word that describes it for you. Here we go. We don't like the, man, you got to get the driver's license. You got to get stuff, the title renewed and all of that stuff. Go in and get you a ticket, y'all. And so you got number 196, and they on number 2. I heard the acknowledgement. We don't like going there. How about this next place? Doctor's office. I know the brothers now. Come on, chime in. It's like pulling teeth to get us to go there. I just got to go. Man, you're bleeding and stuff. Come on. You got to go to the doctor. No. I'm good. Just give me some Windex. I'm good. What about this next place? Grocery store. Come on. What y'all feel about it? What's that? Yummy? Okay, so yummy. So we got some yummy. So folk that are excited about going to the grocery store, you know, I got a counseling background. You know, I know some psychology stuff. Something wrong with y'all. No, I'm kidding. I love to go to the grocery store. I do now. I love to go. But they all emote some feeling. You know, you feel a certain way about going certain places. How about, so this last one, I don't want a response. I just want to let it marinate for a minute. I want you to be honest with yourself as it comes up. What about this last place, y'all? Boom. So y'all were supposed to say nothing, though. You were supposed to say nothing. You wasn't. So church, can we sit for a minute and be honest? Has there ever been a time in your life when going to church felt more like going to the DMV, going to the doctor's office, or going to the grocery store? that you really didn't want to go. Have you ever felt like, man, I gotta go because I'm a Christian. I gotta go because they tell me I gotta go to church. But how many come to church because you really love the church? Do we feel we have to go, or is there more to it than that? Look around the sanctuary right now. Look at the empty pews, the empty chairs. Think about this for a minute. Who are the people that used to sit near you in your row, in your section? And you go, I haven't seen them for a while. They haven't been here. Think about people that you know that are church people, so to speak. They know Jesus, but they don't go to anybody's church. And they don't go to anybody's church for whatever reason it might be. But maybe for them it feels like going to the DMV. It feels like going to the doctor's office. It feels like going to that place, and so they don't show up. And we know there are reasons that people may not show up. Maybe they don't show up because they have experienced church hurt. Anybody ever been there before? That you've been hurt by something that someone said or did to you as a part of a church. And so maybe for a minute you decided you didn't want to go. You really weren't in love with the church at the time. Maybe you were in that category at one time to have it my own way, that the church is not working out the way I want it to. The praise team, they sing too long. The preacher, he preaches too loud and gets too excited. So it's not what I want. And maybe for some people it's about hearsay and gossip, and that's why they don't go to church, because they heard what somebody said about this church or that church. Yo, I get real upset. I do. When people get on television, when people put in their popular songs out there and they down the church, they clown the church, they talk about the church. Yeah. Listen, if you're in a family, y'all, you don't just clown and talk about your family members like that. So why would people talk about the church like that? I feel like being like that famous actor, y'all, who was at the awards show, and you know, you heard that slap. He said, keep the church out of your mouth. I feel like saying that sometimes, y'all. Because I love the church. Yes. I love my church. Yes. I love every church I've ever been a part of. Yeah. Because the church is really about people. You can't say you love your church or any church if you don't love people. Because the church is in the people business. Yeah. We're in the whole business. And so when I come to church and I see you, I get my energy and my excitement by seeing that you are here and that you are doing well. That's what I get. Because I love you. I love people. And people make up the church. And not only that we're called to reach people outside of the walls of the church. So we got to love people. So I think God's plan for the church is that people would love the church, because we got to love people. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 13, verses 34, I think it's through 35. He said Jesus speaks, he's talking pre-church, y'all. It's not our text for today, but he's pre-church stuff, before the first church was ever formed. This is what Jesus says in John 13. He says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. King James, by this shall all men know that we're Christ's disciples, by the love we have for one another. So I say it again. Loving the church means loving people. And it can't be this kind of transactional kind of love. I use a restaurant as an example. So some of us say we love our favorite restaurants. We love Popeyes. We love Papa Do's. We love whatever it is. Some of y'all, I saw the restaurant, what's it called? Tryst, T-R-Y-S-T. I saw it on television the other day. Man, that food was looking good. I got to get down there. But we love Flavor Rich. And so if y'all hear me out there and I'm talking y'all up, listen, give me some compensation. So we love our places though, y'all. But why we love them? We love them because it's really kind of transactional. They give us good service. They give us good food. And we give them some money in exchange. And we leave them with a good tip, don't we? Yeah, restaurant workers get a good tip. But that's transactional. And y'all listen, for real though, so it's transactional. And how often do we like, okay, let me rate them. Let me give them some stars. Anybody ever go out on Google and you rate that restaurant, you say how good it was, and go on Yelp. Y'all know Yelp. Y'all, will we give them stars? I think sometimes in our relationship with one another as believers, as we're trying to connect with one another, that we're Yelping each other, that we rate each other, that we give you 2 stars or 3 stars. We do the same thing for the church, y'all. Yeah, y'all see, you see it online. Go and look at Living Faith Community Church. Look it up in Google. I hope we got 5 stars there. I don't know. Anything less than a 5-star, listen, brother, we got to kick it out. Get it out of there. Remove it out of there. But that's kind of like transactional stuff. But our love has to be built on relationship, yeah, on sacrifice. Jesus says this, love each other the way I love you. And Jez, how much did he love me? That he gave his life for me.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and that means so much to me. That he gave his life for Kevin Love. I don't know about you, but that excites me. That Jesus died. He died for me. So if he can die for me, give his life up for me, what can I not do for my brother or my sister in Christ? I love my church. So in this series, in this month of love, y'all, February, we explore what it looks like to intentionally love our church. So turn with me, y'all. Here we go to Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 19 through 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. I'm reading from the New Living Translation of the Bible. And it says this, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter into heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new light and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near." So in this first sermon, as we're talking about I love my church, encourage our hearts from the thought, love by connecting. Love by connecting. Simply means that being in community, being in relationship with each other, it's about loving people. It's more than about knowing people's name, the person that sits next to you on a chair or a pew. It's about making sure that people don't stand alone. LFCC, I think we do well in this category. I think we connect real life to a real faith. We do it well, but the reality is we can do better. So here it is. So when I grew up, Brother Jamie, back in the hood, back in Memphis, Tennessee, 1857 House Hill Road, where I grew up, y'all, listen, at our house we had fences that covered the perimeter of our backyard. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You had maybe chain link fences. Maybe you had some of those fancy fences made out of wrought iron. You'd know if you had a few dollars in the bank, your folks had that. But y'all, we had some raggedy fences. You may have half chain link and half something else, y'all. Yeah. But it covered up the backyard. We had a fence in the backyard. Now I'm in the backyard right now. Y'all in the front yard. So in the front yard, everything looks good. Front yard was pristine. Grass was cut real nice. My father would make sure that the hedges were clipped, that we had honeysuckles that ran through the bushes that surrounded some of the, yeah, it looked nice. Some out of a magazine. that mom had this flower garden, she had this brick area in front of one of the windows in the front of the house, y'all. She had little rocks in there. She had shrubs in there. Sometimes she put flowers. It looked real nice. Then we had this tree in the middle of the front yard. It was a beautiful tree, y'all. Everything looked good in the front yard. But the front yard is not where we hung out. Y'all, we hung out, Sister Georgiana, we hung out in the backyard. But now in the backyard, it was a different story, y'all. It was a different story. That we had more weeds in the backyard than you can imagine. That along that raggedy, rusty fence, y'all, we had stuff growing up all through the fence, y'all. So Dad would take care of the front yard. It looked real good, but listen, when it came to the backyard, I'm not so. Sometimes he let that grass grow so tall, y'all, and my mom, Hugh, that was my dad, Hugh, cut the grass, cut. Rose, leave me alone. That's my mother's name. We need to cut. It's looking bad back there. So what would he do? He telling my brother and I, boy, y'all go cut the yard. Now, she's been asking you to cut the yard for I don't know how long. The grass didn't grow too long, y'all. And so we had to go back and cut the grass. But the backyard was a little bit different. Y'all, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all had some Sioux hounds. And I'm a purebred dog. You had a Sioux hound. The Sioux hound was tied to some link in the fence, tied to the tree in the backyard, some rope in the backyard. Y'all, we had a basketball. I had a basketball goal that my father put in the backyard for me, y'all. I was gonna be, I don't know who then, I was gonna be somebody then. I had a skyhook out of this world, y'all. I was gonna be the next Kareem. Hey, but we play in the backyard and we had dust and dirt back there, y'all. The backyard, it just looked jacked up. We had a clothesline back there. Anybody know about clothesline? Before the dryer days, that you wash those clothes and you take that basket, you go out there with those clothes pins and you put stuff up there, y'all, your underwear, your drawer, everything hanging out, flying in the wind. Everybody see your stuff out there, y'all. All that stuff out there. But that was, I ain't got sense. But yeah, that was our backyard. But y'all know what? That's the place where we hung out. That usually, especially when we were young, you know, mom and dad, they wanted us in the backyard where we were safe and secure. We could run around, you know, careful not to hurt ourselves over lawnmower parts everywhere. But we hung out in the backyard. So the fence, the place of separation, separated the front yard from the backyard. It's a barrier. The folk could come in the front yard. The front yard looked real good. The front yard is what we want people to see. How pretty it is and how pristine it is, how good it looks. But we live in the backyard of life. But God wants us to connect with each other. So how do we have this front yard mentality where I want you to see what looks good and what looks real nice? But I live in the backyard. That my life is not all well put together. There's some dirty stuff, there's the clothes. It's all back there. So how do we connect to each other? How do we love by connecting if all I want you to see is my front yard? That God wants us to live connected as a church family and as God's people. And we got to show people the whole thing. So let's picture our lives as a yard again, to be honest. Comfortable again with showing people all of the good stuff, Brother Alan Jones, in the front yard. Y'all, we need some backyard people. So Alan's just one of my backyard. I can talk to him about anything. But the front yard looks real good. Everything in the front yard, it looks perfect, it's pristine, but the backyard, that's where we live. The backyard is real life. It's the real story, it's the truth. So here's the deal. I believe that God doesn't like fences. God's not like, just show him the pristine, show him the pretty. God's not a big fan of that. God doesn't have a problem, y'all, with the fence at your house, so don't get me wrong. Don't take your real fence, your literal fence at your house and say, well, the pastor was preaching about take your fence down. No, don't do that. But I'm talking symbolically, the fences that we have in our lives. In terms of our relationships with him and our relationship with any other, are there any fences that I put up in my life? Yes, look at my front yard, but you can't come into my backyard. You have to keep out. There's some stuff I don't want you to see. But if we intend to love our church the way God wants us to, then we've got to do this. The first thing we got to do is this, y'all. Know that Jesus tore down the fence. So before we focus on the fences that we have in our relationships between each other as brothers and sisters in Christ, we have to deal with the big fence that Jesus had to tear down so that we could get to God the Father. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. Let me read again. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and living way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Yeah. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure blood. So, Bible readers, you get the gist, the understanding from this text, that it's really, it's tabernacle, temple talk. That when you read the Bible, you go to the Old Testament, say the book of Leviticus, where they established the rules of worship, that as the people were going to worship God, that they couldn't come into the presence of God all by just like that, that there would be a priest that they would have to go through. Started with a tabernacle, which was like a traveling tent wherever they went with Moses through the wilderness, that they had to build that tent. And inside that tent, there were two specific places. There was the holy place. And that's where the Levite, that's where the priest would go in and he would make offerings to God. The holy place, there was a lampstand there. There was a table of a showbread, offering substance to God. There were things that were there in the holy place. But then there was this veil. There was this barrier that the priest, the common priest, could not go there, but the chief priest, the high priest, was the one that went into the holy of holies. That's the place where God dwelt. That's the place where the Ark of the Covenant was. If you don't know what that, you got to read on that. The Ark of the Covenant that symbolized God's presence amongst his people with the angels over it and the holy seat in the middle of it. And so the priest would have to sprinkle blood on behalf of the people for their sins. Without the shedding of blood, there was no remission of sins. So the priest had to go in right. He had to go in tight, and he had to sprinkle the blood for the sins of the people because everybody could not go in. But listen to what happened. We come New Testament. Here comes Jesus, who's our great and our high priest. Yeah. And he was also the sacrificial lamb of God who shed his blood for you and for me. And because he shed his blood, we can come into the presence of God Almighty. Oh, y'all ain't got it yet. That because of Jesus, I can come into the presence of a sovereign and almighty God when I could not before. But by the blood of Jesus, oh, the blood that washes away all my sins. And now I can come boldly before his throne of grace. And he gives me mercy. He provides for me in his presence. So that's what the Hebrew writer is talking about. So because of Jesus, the fence was torn down. The veil was split in the temple. The barrier came down. And you and I can get to God the Father by ourselves. We don't need a priest. We already got a great high priest. You know, we don't need nobody to sprinkle the absolution. We don't need that. I don't need the bead thing where, you know, we don't need all of that. We just go to him for ourselves. The fence is down. So here's the thing. I want to talk to somebody candidly right now. That Jesus wants to tear down the fence. The fence of sin and guilt and shame between you and the Father. And how do you do that today? You have to admit, listen, that you ain't got it right. Admit that you don't have it together. None of us do. That we're not perfect. That we admit it. We come to Jesus and y'all, and he tears down the fence. The fence so we can be connected to God the Father. We can be connected to him, and then we can be connected to one another. You go to the book of Romans, y'all. We don't have time to go through the text today. But I think Romans details clearly what the Hebrew writer is trying to say in the text, what he is saying. You go to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, where it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, So all of us had a big fence between us and God. We could not get to him. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. Because of that fence, we'll never get to God. Romans chapter 5 in verse 8, while we were yet still sinners, Christ came and he died for you and for me. What we could not remove, Jesus did for you and for me. Romans 10, 9 through 10, if we confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. The fence is removed. And then Romans 10, 13, for everyone who calls on the name of Jesus shall be saved. That he never denies. He never denies tearing down a fence in your life. Never, ever, 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 ever. So here we are. We know that Jesus tore down the fence for us. We're born building fences. Let's talk about that. These walls and these structures and these things that protect us because we don't want people to see our real backyard. Things that can keep us separated from God. That you're saved, but what about your intimacy with him? You put up a fence.
Yeah, come on.
Guilt and shame fence. That we must realize that the barrier between us and Jesus has to be torn down. It was torn down by the cross already. So why do we keep building fences? He tore it down, but we keep on building. We keep on building. So when you surrender your life to him, when you surrender your life to Jesus, he tears down the fence. The barrier is gone. But the problem is we need to stop trying to build fences. So if the fence was torn down by Jesus, then we should do this as well. Allow others into our yard. That he came and he removed the fence. The fence is now gone. When you confess Jesus, the fence is gone.
Yeah.
So how then does that impact your relationship with Jesus? How then does that impact your relationship with other believers? If we're talking about love by connecting to one another, he tore down the fence for you and for me. Am I going to keep a fence built up so we can't get to each other?
Yeah.
A connection to Jesus means a connection to the Jesus community. It means a connection to Jesus people.
Yeah.
Regardless of your background, all of that stuff, because we build fences, y'all. Social fences. I'm highfalutin. I'm a big baller. You know, you got big money in the bank. So, yeah, socioeconomic fences. That we build these political fences, and shame on the church. That we worship and serve Jesus, that our focus is on him. We have an other than kingdom, not the kingdom of this world.
Right.
But we get so focused and wrapped up on this political system, this world system, and so we build fences. That I know we're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ because you're a Democrat. And so I think this way about you. You're a Republican, and so this has got to be what you're independent, so we don't know who you are. And so we get wrapped up in this mess. And we build our fences. That just based upon the fact that you are in a political party, now I've got you all summed up, and I build fences around you. I won't let you behind my fence. I won't let you into my yard. Racial, ethnic, gender, denominational fences.
Yeah.
I told you before that God didn't like, he doesn't like these kind of fences. So intentionally loving our church. It's not about building programs. It's not about this building. Thank God for this building. But it's about building each other up. It's about building people. It's about sharing our lives with one another. It's about connecting to people. And so it becomes impossible, Minister Jan, if I got a fence up. Well, if I won't let you into I won't let you into the backyard. So what do we do? I think we do what Paul gives us a prescription for in the text. He says in verses 23 through 25, he said, let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope we affirm. That's our hope in Christ. For God can be trusted to keep his promises. That God will keep his promise. God began a good work in you and me, and he will keep that promise. Until the day that we see Jesus, he's going to keep that promise. He's taking us from here to there as a church family, but we got to stay connected. Man, this whole text is so good. It's really about holding on to our faith. It's about encouraging each other. It's about looking until we see Christ come, holding on till he comes again. She says, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as some do. I said to the folks this morning, y'all, whole bunch of good preachers and pastors, y'all, they've used this text just to guilt people. You got to come to church because the Bible says, listen, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's what the Word of God says. But why does it say that? Why is it so important to Jesus that we love one another as he loved us? Why is it so important that we show up and we connect together as a body of believers? Because of love. Because he loved us, we love him. Because we love him, we love one another. And so this is not about guilting people when we tell people you need to show up to church. Yeah, you need to. That we live in a day and age now since COVID. Listen, it's real easy to turn on the TV. And I'm not talking about anybody out there right now. Listen, maybe good reason you're not in the house today. But if you could have showed up for church, but it's just a little bit cold outside, I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying what I'm saying. I'm saying what I'm saying to you. That I love coming to the house of God. Yes. JC, when you and the family show up, I love seeing y'all. To know you made it through another week, that God has blessed you, that you're still smiling. That I love church, y'all. I love church people. Every church I've been a part of, y'all. I love the church because the church is made up of people. But he says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as some do. And so he's talking about corporate worship in the bigger sense, wherever we gather together, we ought to gather together. We ought to connect together, not just at church. Yes. I think he's talking about something even bigger than that. He's talking about doing life together. So community means we don't build fences. We don't build barriers. That we let people into the backyard of our lives. That we share our lives together. Community means standing in someone's yard and allowing them to stand in your yard as well. All of us probably got a little dirt back there. There's some stinky back there. We had a dog, y'all. We had a dog named Prince, and Prince would do his thing in the backyard, and every once when you step into them, it'd be stinky. That it may be unkempt, maybe toys thrown everywhere, that old rusty barrel barbecue grill back there, y'all, that old fence back there, but he tore all of that down so we can allow other people into our yards now. Yeah, anybody ever saw that HGTV show, what's it, Help, I Wrecked My House? Yeah. Man, folks, their house be looking bad, y'all. But they would dare to be on national television and show people the mess in their houses, like it really is. I want to symbolize, can we do that? Regardless of where we live, our circumstances, our plight in life, are we bold and brave enough just to show people to be real and authentic? Yeah. To say, this is my life. That I got some backyard living. It's not perfect, but this is the way it is. Are we bold enough to do that? Now, you can't do that with everybody. Amen, somebody. So, somebody's business is, their business is your business. They all up in your business. And they want to take your business and give it to somebody else. But I believe God will show you the people that are part of this body, a part of this church, that listen, you can be open and real with them. You can share your life. You can share your story, and they're not going to judge you. Let them see the backyard. So whose yard are you in right now? And who have you allowed into your yard? Community is about standing in someone else's yard. And so know this as we close, that we have to enjoy the company. The fence has been, it's been torn down. So we let other people into the yard. And then we should just enjoy the company. Let folk in. Verse 24 says this again, and let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. So what does this look like for real? The walls are down. The yard is open. The fence is down. And so we can share life with each other for real. We can share some meals together. You know, from your culture, what kind of foods do you eat? Let me experience some of that. Or we can go out and we can eat together. And I'm hoping y'all hear me this morning, for real, because we show up Sunday after Sunday, but who do you really ever know in the church? Who do you ever really share your yard with? I know their name, but who do you really share your yard with in life?
Yeah.
We can go out to dinner. We can just enjoy each other's company, go out to a movie together, just hang out, go have a cup of coffee. I don't know, for me, everything has to be surrounded with food for some reason. It's got to be food. Food for me. I like food, y'all. It's... I think according to the Hebrew writer, it's about helping each other to enjoy serving Jesus as we all journey from here to where he's taking us. We're enjoying the journey, but we enjoy each other's company. And the thing is this, this doesn't happen automatically. It just does not. That we can talk about it all day long. So here's some things I want to leave with us. Just some suggestions. Some points of strategy for all of us as a church family. That if we're going to enjoy each other's company, we need to have healthy expectations. What does that mean? I don't expect that everybody in this church will show up at 9511 Bow Willow. Now, if y'all, that's my house. If y'all show up with food, though, we can get y'all in the yard. We're going to get in there. But I don't expect that. That's not a realistic, that's not a healthy expectation. But here's something. We can take some baby steps, because you're not going to go to everybody's house. You're not going to know everybody. But everybody can know somebody. That's why we have this thing for 2026, that when we talk about life groups, Sister Lori's in the back of the room, and so we have some people that are part of life groups, but I believe he wants all of us to be a part of a life group. But I can't force you to do it. I can't force you to be in life with somebody, connecting with somebody, but I want you to. And so our goal is that 70% of the church would be engaged in a life group. So if after this worship experience, you're not in a life group, y'all can storm Sister Lori and say, Sister Lori, sign me up for a life group, because I want to connect and I want to do life with other people as a part of my church that I love. Amen.
Amen.
And so we have to take ownership. You got to take some ownership, and so do I. I'm talking to me too. That as a pastor, I'm just a highfalutin person, that Sister Jackie, she can burn, she can cook. That y'all can come to the house. Man, but we used to do that so much in our faith and growing up, that everybody was always at somebody else's house. I loved it, and I miss that. That get back. So it may not be that you can cook, but you can go to the movies, just hang out, go bowl, do something. But we have to connecting real life to a real faith. Love by connecting. So as we leave this morning, y'all, I hope that if you don't love your church, I hope you learn to fall in love with your church.
Yeah.
When I say the church, I'm not just talking about a building and program. I'm talking about people. That our eyes would be open and we would see people.
Yes.
That we would see their needs. That we would see their hurts. We would see their joys. And we would experience life together.
Yes.
Know that Jesus has torn down the fence. Allow someone into your yard. And enjoy the company. Enjoy the people that you associate with. So start considering how we can be connected with others for encouragement and growth. So as I end, let me tell you this story. So in my neighborhood, for real, I love to walk through the neighborhood. I used to do a 4-mile walk. Man, I was consistent for a minute. Y'all pray for a pastor. I was doing a 4-mile walk. Now I'm doing about a 4-minute walk. But y'all pray for me, y'all. But when I would go through the neighborhood, y'all, and like going to the mailbox and stuff, I could hear children in backyards just playing and laughing. Some had swimming pools, they're splashing in the water, they're giggling. And then my mind would race back to when I was a child and how we would play in mom and daddy's backyard at the house, y'all, and we'd have a great time. And they could keep an eye on us that we would be safe in the backyard. Reminds me of something, that the church is made up of God's children. And wouldn't it be exciting if we could hear the laughter and the voices of God's people in various places and yards as they gather together in fellowship and unity and harmony. But the great thing about this that really excites me, that as we gather together, that our fences are down, that people are allowed into our yard, and we can giggle and laugh and play and worship together and pray together and serve together and praise God together. that we still have a fence that's around us. But that fence is the fence that God places around each and every one of us as a community of believers.
Yeah.
Psalm 34 and verse 7 says this, "The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them." The songwriter said it well. Jesus is a fence all around us. Who's the us? That's you and me. That's the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And he protects us and guides us and keeps us, that he surrounds us by his glory, that he protects us by his presence, that he keeps us by his power, that we're enclosed in his grace, that we're showered by his love and by his promises, that he's the fence all around us. But the fences that we have between one another, the fence between us and God is torn down. And the question still remains, will you allow someone into your yard? I don't know about you, but I love my church.
Yeah.
The church said, yeah. Amen. That I love my church. But Jesus loved his church even more than he died. If Jesus can sacrifice his life and give his life for the church, can I not sacrifice some time? Can I not sacrifice a meal? Can I not sacrifice a listening ear? Can I not sacrifice the concerned heart for a person that may be in a hospital, may be sick, may be discouraged, may be depressed, and I give of myself to be there for them? Again, look around you today. Who's not here? Who do you remember that used to sit next to you? And you're going, huh? Mike, it's been a while. I ain't seen him in a minute. What will you do? Will you take some ownership? Will you call and say, so-and-so used to sit next to me. Can y'all look at it directly? I want to call such and so and see where are they? That he called us to love by connection, and we got to do that. God so loved the world, a world that was separate from him because of their sins, that he loved us so much that he sacrificed his own son for you and for me. And the son gave his life for you and for me. He died. But as the old preachers used to say, 3 days later, he rose up with all power.
Yeah.
And that's saving power. That's delivering power. That's keeping power. And so if you are here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, you need to be. That the connection starts with a relationship with Jesus. Make no mistake about it.
Yeah.
So you ask yourself in this moment, what is your relationship with Jesus? Is there a fence between you and him? Let me make it clear too. So when I talk about the fences, listen, when you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, the fence was torn down. You're saved if you truly confess Jesus. But are you that person that you're building up fences, though, that wedge this barrier between your relationship with Jesus? You've truly confessed him, but there's a barrier that's there, and he wants to remove it. He wants total intimacy with you and with me. But for those who are unsaved, it starts with Jesus. For those of you that may have not been in church for a long time, it's been a while, it's been a minute. Here's your opportunity to come back, to be a part of the fellowship and the community of believers. So believing in Jesus for the first time, or already a born again believer, but not really connected to a church, we invite you in this moment. The Living Faith Community Church is a church where we're connecting real life to a real faith. So our ushers are standing in the aisles right now. Their hands are, they are extended. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, here we are in your presence. In your presence, Lord God, is the fullness of joy. God, help us to know that as we assemble together, it's just not some theological rhetoric when we say we're in your presence. We're really in your presence. You are here because you abide in the hearts of your people, oh God. By the power of your spirit, you dwell in us. You are here Right now, we pray that you would minister to the hearts of people right now, the people that aren't connected with you, Father, that they would know that your word is true, that you so loved the world that you gave your son Jesus to die for their sins. For that person that knows Jesus and a pardon of their sins, but they're not connected, that they would reconnect, if not to this church, to some church, because the truth is we need each other. We are the church, and you called us to love one another as you loved us, Jesus, and you gave yourself for us. So Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Speak to a heart, we pray. We admit that we've all sinned. We've fallen short of your glory. We believe that we confess with our mouths Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible, who died for our sins, rose 3 days later with all power. We believe in this Jesus. We confess him as Lord and Savior of our lives. And that saves us and that settles it. So again, Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So again, hands are extended. If you're here today and you're not in a saving relationship with Jesus, you need to be. If you feel a tug in your heart, if you're wondering and have questions, won't you get up from where you are? They'll lead you to room number one to see with one of our new member ministry advisors. Speak with them. If you have questions that you need to raise with them, they will answer your questions. If you're here today and you're already a born-again believer, but you're not connected to a local church, we invite you to make Living Faith Community Church, your church home, as we call it, your church of choice. Won't you come today?
You've just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1111 Tally Road in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for Sunday worship service at 9 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study via Zoom at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, where we're connecting real life to a real faith.